morning we'll be reading from Revelation and chapter 8 and 9. I'll start with 8. It's titled The Seventh Seal and the Golden Censer. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel, who had a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God and the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes, lightnings, and an earthquake. The trumpets. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood. And it was hurled down upon the earth. A third of the earth was burned up, a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on the third of the river and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. As I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in mid-air, calling out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the trumpet blasts about to be sounded by the other three angels."
The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and sky were darkened by the smoke of the abyss. And out of the smoke, locusts came down the earth and were given power like that of scorpions and of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not given power to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. During those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but the dead will elude them. The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. On their heads, they wore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces. Their hair was like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. They had tails and stings like scorpions, and in their tails they had power to torment people for 5 months. They had a skin over them, the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek Apollyon. The first woe is past. Two other woes are yet to come. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the horns of the golden altar that is before God. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. The number of the mounted troops was 200 million. I heard their number. The horses and rides I saw in my vision looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow as sulfur. the heads of the horses resembled the heads of lions, and out of their mouth came fire, smoke, and sulfur. A third of mankind was killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of their mouths. The power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like snakes, having heads with which they inflict injury. The rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshipping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk, nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, of their thefts.
Good morning. Thank you for the Bible reading. It was a long piece. So, a man, he came to his pastor, very concerned. And he said to his pastor, he said, "You know, my wife, she talks and talks and talks, never ending. And I'm very concerned." And the pastor suspected a marriage problem. So he said, "Is everything all right in your marriage?" And the guy said, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I love her. She is a wonderful Christian. And I love to spend the time with her. But," he said, "I've read the Bible. And I am afraid. I am afraid she will not be in heaven." The pastor said, why would you think that? And then the guy said, "Revelations 8 verse 1. So the pastor opened his Bible. He read Revelations 8 verse 1. "When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for half an hour." It's a nice joke, I hope. Whenever I read this verse, I heard this joke when I was a kid. Whenever I read this verse, I always think about this this joke. But the silence was for something else. Eh? And I think she will be there, and she will be very impressed. Because what happens in Revelations 8 and before that is very impressive. So, of course, everyone will be quiet. But let's go back to our series. Where's my remote control? So this is the Bible reading. We already had it. All right. So we are doing a series on Revelations. And we do it a little bit different. And when I think about Revelations, I grew up in a church where we often discuss and study the book of Revelations about the future and about all the things that are going to happen and about the tribulation and 1,000 years, etc., etc. We are not focusing on that when we study Revelations, this series. We are looking at what is happening and see who God is and how Jesus is revealed in this and how we can live with all these things that are happening around us. So today also we focus on what can we see from God in Revelations. And I want to picture a little bit of the things that we already had in the past few series. We started with the seven churches, and then in Revelation 5 we see that the Lamb who showed up, the Lamb slain, looked as if he was slain. He opened the seal, the scroll. He was able to open the scroll. And this scroll, we already read in Daniel, that this scroll contains God's plans for the end times. And Gilbert already said several times that the end times had already begun. It began from day one after Jesus went back to heaven. What you see here is a scroll with seven seals. And what we had discussed last week were the first six seals that were slowly being opened. And every time a seal was opened, something happened. And what we will see in Revelations, there are three times that these kind of things happen. We have 7, 7, 7. 3 times 7. 7 is the number of fullness, that's number of completeness in the Bible. And 3 is also related to completeness. God is 3 in 1. There are 3, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is complete. It's holy. So what we see here are God's plans, God's end time plans, which are complete. After that, it's completed. So what we will see, we discussed 6 of the 7 seals last week. And in Revelation 6, verse 8, Revelation chapter 6 to 8, we see that these seals are slowly opened. Today we will start with the 7th seal, because we had discussed the 6th seals in last week. And every time, when this is the first section of 7, and it always ends with this. And there came peals of thunder, rumbling, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. It is a symbol of it's completed. This is done. The second 7 are the 7 trumpets, which we always also will discuss the first parts today. And also, after all the 7 trumpets are done, we read in Revelation chapter 11, and there came peals of thunder, rumbling, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. And the last time, a little bit further in Revelation, we again see 7 things, 7 bowls in Revelation 16. And again, when the 7th bowl is poured out, we read, and there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. What we see here is an ascendance. It's like a stairs. You go up further and further. The punishments or the things that are happening are increasing in seriousness. The 7 seals, when we looked at them last week, and Gilbert discussed it, the first 6 seals look like this: a white horse, a red horse, a black horse, and a pale horse, and they all bring kind of things that are happening on the earth. The first one is wars. The second one is peace is taken away, the red horse. The black horse causes famine and starvation, and the pale horse causes death. And you see those 4, they are all related to things happening on earth. And we see that around us in all 2,000 years of history, these kind of things, they happen. We have seen famines and starvation. We have seen deaths. And it overcomes everyone. It's not only those who are not believers. It happens to everyone. We all are affected by peace and wars. We are all affected by starvation and famine. And we are affected by death. And when the 5th seal is opened, we see that there is more than meets the eye. There's more. In all these events, all these 2,000 years that we already experienced this, we see that people that follow God are suppressed. They are killed because of their belief. And when the 5th seal is opened, we see that God is comforting them. Just a little bit, wait a little bit longer before I revenge your death, before I revenge your suffering. Just wait a little bit longer. And he's giving them white robes. And in the 6th seal, people start to realize that God is starting his wrath, and they are trying to hide from him. And after that, before the 7th seal is opened, we see that there's a lot of worship towards God and the Lamb. A multitude of people is standing there. They worship God before the 7th seal is opened. And then the 7th seal is opened. And what happens? 7th seal, it's the last one. After that, the scroll is opened to be read. There's silence in heaven for half an hour. They are impressed because now it's coming. Now it's going to happen. The scroll is open. And they were quiet. After worshiping God for such a while, they are quiet, full in awe of God, but also realizing that it's going to be serious. It's going to be something what is in the scroll. The silence is because it's the 7th seal. It's the last one, the last seal. 7 is final. It's the most important one of the seals, because after that, we can read what are God's plans. The time of God's wrath has begun, and the scroll is opened. People that were present in heaven, they realize that. And then I want to read what is going to happen when the seventh seal is opened. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Let's wait for the trumpets. It's not yet time for the trumpets. Now is something else is coming. Another angel, who had a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayer of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it to the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. The seventh seal is opened. What we see here is prayers. Prayers are being offered to God. All the prayers of the saints. And we read that in Revelation 5 verse 8, that these prayers are offered to God. In 5 verse 8 we read, "And when he, the Lamb, had taken it, the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people." And one of these prayers we read in Revelation 6. In Revelation 6, verse 10, when the fifth seal was opened, when like I said just now, that this is revealed, there are a lot of people died and suffered because of God's name. And these people, they called out in a loud voice in Revelation 6, verse 10, "How long, Sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" It's another prayer to God. And what we see is that these prayers are offered to God. And what happens is that the angel takes the fire from the offering and throws this fire back to earth. It's a kind of, the wrath has begun. Now it's time that God is avenging the blood of the people who suffered. And these prayers are about injustice, deliverance from suffering, and the prayers from those who are oppressed because of God's names. Those prayers, the prayers that are calling out to God for help, those prayers, they are an offering to God. They are incense. God loves to smell it. God loves to be prayed at by us. And the prayers of the saints are very powerful. You know, they end up like a fire and thrown to earth, and then the seven trumpets starts. We will read about that in the next. But first, about this praying. And I looked up three different prayers in the Bible that I think are very powerful. The first one is in Psalm 107, verse 28 to 30. There are many prayers in the Psalms, and this is one of them. "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. So they cried to the Lord in their trouble. So when we are troubled, when there are circumstances are not pleasant for us, when we are suffering, for whatever reason, we can cry out to the Lord, and he will hear us. That's one of the prayers that will end up in the bowl to be offered to God. And the next one is also a very powerful prayer. It's one of my favorite stories as a child. It's in 1 Kings 18, and I'm going to read the story because it's really a nice story. 1 Kings 18. If you want to read with me, please look it up. 1 Kings 18, verse 16. It is the moment where Israel is worshiping Baal. And there was a king who stimulated them to do that. And Elijah warned several times that they should not worship Baal, they should worship God. But they all forgot about God, they only worshiped Baal. And then Elijah challenged them. He challenged the Baal priests. And he said, we are going to the Mount Carmel, and we are going to both have an offering. We are making a big pile of an offering to you to Baal, and I to my God. And the trick is, we are not going to set it to fire. Your God or my God is going to set it to fire. And that's what happens. So they all gather together, and the priest, I'm not going to read the whole story, I'll tell a little bit. The priest of Baal, they ran and screamed and shouted and run around the offering, and they stabbed themselves, hurt themselves, all to impress Baal to set that offering on fire. And nothing happened. And then, after that, Elijah's turn. And he does not want that people think he is tricking them. So he asked everyone to pour a lot of water over his offering. So he could not set it on fire himself sneakily, right? It's completely wet. And then there's a prayer of Elijah, which I want to read. In verse 36, 1 Kings 18, verse 36. Start a little bit earlier. Then in verse 30 I will start. Then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. Then they came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord shall come, saying, your name shall be Israel. With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold 2 seas of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, fill 4 large jars with water, and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Do it again, he said, and they did it again. Do it a third time, he ordered, and they did it a third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed. And here comes the prayer. O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me. So these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. For me, that was an amazing prayer. It's small, but very powerful. The power of prayer is amazing when God is with you. And in Revelation 10, verse 6, verse 10, we see, I just read it already, we see that the people who have suffered, who said, Lord, how long do we have to wait before you avenge our blood? And the Lord said, wait a little while, it's coming, just be patient. Prayers will not be answered immediately, sometimes. In this case, with Elijah, it was immediately answered. But it's not always like that. Prayers may be sent out, and you feel you won't get an answer. But God collects all of them, and he will answer them in his time. These are the verses. So the seventh seal is opened. And what happens? When the seventh seal is opened, something new starts. We see 7 trumpets. 7 angels who have 7 trumpets. And these trumpets, they give a kind of answer to the prayers. What we see is that there are four items that are related to the earth suffering. In the first trumpet, hail and fire is coming, and it burns up 1/3 of the earth. And then, in the second trumpet, a mountain was thrown into the sea, full of fire, and it killed 1/3 of the sea life. And 1/3 of the water became unusable, of the seawater became blood. And the third one is that a star fell from the sky, and it ruined 1/3 of the drinking water and the rivers. And the fourth one is that 1/3 of the sky was darkened. The moon, the sun, everything was 1/3 diminished. And there was a lot of darkness. 1/3 of the day and 1/3 of the night, it was completely dark. What we see here is that the earth is suffering more than in the seven seals. In the seven seals, we already see that the earth was suffering. Famine and peace and war. But here, the first four trumpets, they make it even worse. They do not wipe out the whole earth. It's 1/3. For me, that means God is warning. God is warning. He is not doing his full wrath yet. He is warning. Warning the people that they should stop. They should worship him and not worship others. Warning the people that they should stop killing his followers. These are all things that we even see today, not 1/3 of the earth, but we see the fires in Australia, who burns like half Australia away. We see the plastic mountain in the seas that is ruining a lot of life in the seas. We see many things that are not like this yet, but we see that God is warning us as earth, that the earth is suffering. A star fell from the sky, and the star is called Wormwood. And we have seen many disasters that are ruining our food, that are ruining our water. One of them is in 1985, the Chernobyl disaster. Actually, Chernobyl in Ukrainian means Wormwood. Wormwood was the star mentioned here. They are just warning signs from God that it is... It's not going well with the earth. These are all physical disasters that are happening. The next three trumpets are not about physical. So these things, when we are experiencing them, we also suffer. We suffer from the... Christians in Australia suffer from the fires there. Christians in China and in the world are suffering from the coronavirus. It's not just non-Christians, it's still people who live on this earth, are suffering from these things. But the next two trumpets, they are in the spiritual domain. And what we see in the fifth and the sixth one, in the first, we see that we see people saying, whoa, 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 now the three ones are coming that are, oh, please hide from it. Those two and three trumpets, they are in the spiritual world. We see in the fifth trumpet that the locust and the destroyer is coming. It's the devil. And he tortures everyone without seal. So we see here that God is protecting the people that are sealed by him, that are saved by him, from these things, from the spiritual world. God is protecting us as Christians. And in the sixth one, four angels and their troops, they kill 1/3 of mankind. But no Christians. They are all protected by God. These events, they take place in the spiritual world. And when we read about that, we see demons torturing people in chapter 9. They were given the power to not to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. During those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. It's hard to stand these tortures. But I think God comforts us because it says that these demons were not allowed to touch the people with the seal of God on their forehead. Christians who are protected by the blood of the Lamb. And I do not know how literal this is. If really 1/3 of the people are killed and 1/3 of the earth will be damaged. We see it around us already. I think what God means here is that God is still warning. God is not immediately putting all his wrath on the earth, but he is still warning the church, warning the people on the earth. And he protects the church. So do we have to be afraid? Do we have to be afraid of all these things that are described here? I think one thing is sure, that it's God's plan. God is in control. He never loses control. We don't have to fear that. And actually, God is revealing his plans through this. He is executing his plans. So we don't have to be afraid when God's plans are being executed. And above that all, is God is protecting his own. He is protecting the one who belong to him. We don't have to be afraid for natural disasters. We don't have to be afraid for the nature collapsing. Sometimes people are afraid that a meteorite will strike Earth and wipe out all of humanity. That will never, never happen because God is in control. And there's no way that everyone will be killed. All of us. It's not happening. We don't have to be afraid that nature will collapse on us, that we will have another ice age where everyone will be killed and frozen. There are so many things going on right now about nature, and so many millions are put in to help us protect our environment. I think it's good that we are careful with our nature. That is our responsibility as Christians. But now the worship of nature becomes almost God. People are focusing on that, but they should focus on God, because anyway, the earth will go down. That's what we see. We see 1/3, but with the seven bowls in chapter 16 of Revelation, we see there is no 1/3 anymore. Everything will be gone. And we just read in Psalms when Joyce was reading her Bible verse that the earth is suffering and God will change it like clothing to a new earth. So don't focus on our nature too much. Focus on God. God is in control. And God is still warning. And what shall we do? I think our responsibility is to pray. To pray for our brothers and sisters who are suffering in his name. Pray for the unsaved world to listen to these warnings that God is already sending out. And pray for ourselves to stand firm and trust God. And these prayers, they are an offering to God. They are incense, and God will answer them in his time. And in the meantime, we wait. We wait for his deliverance, his wrath. We wait for his coming. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, your plans for us are not plans of destruction. Lord, your plans for us are to be with you forever. And you will come back for us, Lord, to bring us into heaven. Until then, Lord, help us to pray and wait. Because praying is powerful. Lord, you want us to pray on behalf of our brothers and sisters who are suffering. Lord, we live in a free country where we can express our love for you freely. But there are so many places on this earth where that's not possible, Lord, where people are put into prison, people are being tortured and killed because of your name. Lord, we pray for them. We pray with them, Lord, because they are praying too. How long, Lord, until you avenge our blood? Lord, we pray for those who are not yet having the seal of you in front of their foreheads, Lord, who are not yet saved. Lord, we pray that they see the warnings, the warning signs that you are giving, and that they will come to realization that the only way to be saved is through you, Lord God, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that we stand firm in this suffering world, Lord. That we will not be scared or afraid for everything that's happening around us, but that we put our trust in you, only in you. Lord, you are an amazing God. You are only the only one who is worthy to open the scroll, Lord Jesus, and to execute the plan of wrath. Thank you, Lord, for who you are, and that we can worship you every Sunday again. Worship you for your greatness, your holiness, and worship you because you are in control. You have everything in your hand, Lord. Thank you for who you are, in Jesus' name. Amen. I have one more verse for you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. I can't read it very quickly. To prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11. God's plans are for us to prosper, to be with Him. Amen.